This is an important bill that we believe is going to provide some very important protections to victims of domestic abuse. So thank everybody for your participation leading up to this point and today. So real quickly, why don't we start with some introductions. I'm Susan Kent, Senator from Woodbury. And why don't we work our way down the table that way and come back around this way.
Sure. I'm Emily Leffelt. I'm the Community Administrator for Civil Law and Judiciary in the House.
I'm Representative Clark Johnson, and I represent District 19A, which think Nicollet County, parts of Mankato, and Kasota.
Representative Marion O'Neill, I have Buffalo, Monticello, Maple Lake, 29B.
Deborah Hilstrom, I represent all the City of Brooklyn Center, parts of Brooklyn Park, and I chair the Judiciary Committee.
I'm Julie Rosen, Senator Rosen, and I'm going to go in counties. I represent Blue Earth County, except the town of Mankato, all of Wattenwan, all of Martin, all of half of Jackson, all of Faribault, all of Waseca, except the town of Waseca, and a little bit of Le Sur.
I'm Barb Goodwin, and I represent parts of Anoka County, Hennepin County, and Ramsey County, and six cities in those counties. Columbia Heights, Fridley, New Brighton. And Spring Lake Park and St. Anthony Village.
Ken Backus with the Office of Senate Counsel and Research.
I'm Gwenya Fiskevold-Gould. I am Senator Susan Kent's Legislative Assistant.
Well, thank you all, and welcome, and looking forward to, hopefully it will be a fairly streamlined conversation. I think there are just a few things to discuss through the process, and hopefully we can have a good discussion. And I will say medical marijuana is being discussed in the Senate right now, so we may need to pause and do some votes periodically. So I apologize in advance for the interruptions and beg everyone's patience and forgiveness. To get started, Mr. Backus, would you like to take us through a quick overview of the side-by-side?
Sure, members. And there are two documents that are in your packets you might want to take a look at and follow along. The first is the revisor side-by-side. It's from May 2nd, 11:30, 8 a.m., and it's entitled GPS Monitoring of Domestic Abuse Offenders. So that's the language. And then there's another document that Ms. Perius and I put together, which is the side-by-side summary. So, and just so you know, the Senate language is on the left and the House language is on the right. So just to kind of give you a basic overview, the bills are fairly similar, especially in the details. Both the House and the Senate authorized the use of active real-time GPS monitoring for domestic abuse offenders, both pretrial, so people, you know, before the actual conviction being released on bail and that and whatnot, and post-conviction as a condition of a state sentence. The major difference, of course, is that the Senate has a one-year pilot project for the changes, and the House provisions are permanent. So I'll take a quick walkthrough of the actual sections now. First, on page R1, the two section ones, this is where both the House and Senate amend the post-conviction stay provisions. Both the House and Senate list the applicable crimes, cross-reference the standards that are going to be used, which are going to be in Section 2, and then address data issues. I'm going over it big picture because the provisions are identical, except for the fact that, again, the Senate has a one-year pilot project that expires June 30th, 2015. The two Section 2s, these deal with the pretrial release issue. They both cross-reference the list of crimes in Section 1. They address the advisory group that each judicial district would have to have and the standards they'd have to have in order to implement the use of the devices. These provisions are, again, there's this Senate provision that makes it only a one-year pilot project. There are a few other changes as well that the Senate has that the House does not. On page R3, Senate lines 3.14 to 3.15, the Senate has language that was deleted on the House floor providing for promoting that the standards for GPS must promote policies and procedures that eliminate disproportionate impact adverse to underrepresented groups and populations. Again, that was deleted on the House floor. The Senate on page R3 also has Senate lines 3.18 to 3.20. This was added by the Senate on the floor, and these required that the standards provide that in situations involving a mobile victim and a mobile defendant, that the monitoring entity and not the victim determines if a material violation has occurred and how to respond. The Senate was concerned about situations involving, again, mobile parties. Continuing then, on page R4, the Senate has a provision, line 3.26 to 3.28, that provides that a violation of a location restriction, again, by a mobile defendant, or basically does not automatically violate the conditions of the defendant's release. And again, the House doesn't have any of those provisions. Continuing then, on page R3, there's a Senate-only provision regarding the report. There would be a report to the legislature on January 15th regarding the pilot projects. The House does not have that. And then the House has a provision dealing with repeals that the Senate doesn't have. The House repeals the definition of electronic monitoring in the criminal code and then repeals the provision requesting the Department of Corrections to develop standards for GPS monitoring. Those would be superseded by the bill, and the Senate doesn't have that basically because the Senate's a pilot project, so when the pilot project expires, then those provisions would presumably come back unless the legislature provides otherwise.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Bacchus. Before we launch into any particular agenda items, I wanted to open this up for any discussions or questions based on what was just presented. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Senator Kent. My question is, given the expense of GPS monitoring equipment, do you believe that with a one-year pilot project, or how many entities do you believe that would actually start a one-year pilot project with the high cost, given that they can only use the materials for 1 year?
Thank you, Representative Hillstrom. I think you raise a very good question, and that's something that we have been discussing. I definitely want to, as we get into the issues, I think the question of the pilot project versus the House's position is, I think, sort of the core one. So can we come back to that one if that's all right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other specific questions about what we've discussed so far? All right. Then does anybody have any particular subjects they want to start with first? Or I was thinking another option might be to sort of start with some of the easier ones and then work our way to the more challenging ones. Representative Johnson.
I would, it's my preference.
Yep.
That we wrestle with the elephant in the room or the more challenging. The key difference, it seems to me, is this business of a one-year pilot versus a permanent approach. And I think that our time, once we've come to an agreement on that, I'm confident we can move from there and finish our work with due speed.
Okay.
So that would be my preference. Just get right to the business at hand.
All right. Then we can certainly do that.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, at that point, given that we want to start by basically looking at, on the one hand, it's a pilot project, or on the other hand, it's not, would anybody like to testify on that issue at this point? Welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourselves.
Madam Chairman and members of the conference committee, my name is John Kingry, speaking on behalf of the Minnesota County Attorneys Association. And I believe earlier this spring, both authors received a letter from us indicating support for the legislation. And the bill, I should say the concept was endorsed in January before the bill was introduced, but we did have a copy of the bill as drafted and did support it. And actually, it's been around for a couple of years, this idea. And I know we, our criminal law committee and full board has reviewed it over the years and have supported the concept. I think the legislation does create the flexibility that is needed for the program to expand. And I believe, I'll be very frank with you, I hadn't thought of Representative Hillstrom's comment, but that is very good point. If in terms of expansion, if a new county is going to be coming on board, are they going to be willing to go through the expense involved if it's going to be only a one-year project? I had not thought of that before, but I think that is a very good point. Ramsey County Attorney John Choi, I think, is in a very good position to describe their program and discuss its benefits.
Mr. Choi.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the conference committee. I just want to first begin by first thanking you, Madam Chair, and Representative Clark for being the chief authors of this bill. This is something that we've been working very hard on in Ramsey County. In order for us to have started this, it really started not in Ramsey County. It actually started here at the legislature. Back in 2010, the Minnesota legislature had the great idea of trying to encourage local units of government, counties, to think about utilizing GPS technology to keep victims safe in pretrial and post-trial situations. And so after I got sworn into office in January of 2011, this is one of my first priorities to kind of get to work on. But it took us almost 2 years to actually formally launch it because there was a lot of things. First of all, what you as a legislature required of us to do before we undertook it, and then at the same time, you didn't provide any money, so we had to figure out a way to finance it, all of it. And so there were many conversations with many stakeholders, and then we got the chief judge at that time, was Judge Kathleen Guerin, to convene this kind of a work group that, that the legislature mandated. And we had all of the various stakeholders as a part of the process. And a lot of the discussion and the questions and the issues that came up during that work group were very similar to some of the issues that we discussed in the committee process here as we are here now to kind of reauthorize this pilot program. But having now looking back on that time period, one of the things that I think was critical to all of it was that when the legislature first enacted this back in 2010, you gave us a four-year window to do it. And so when we started this process in 2011, I had great confidence that the legislature wouldn't pull the rug out from underneath us, so any public monies that we were trying to figure out to pull together, that there was predictability in all of that, and so we could proceed knowing that we would have what we were doing wasn't going to end. And so that was, I think that's really helpful. And so I obviously from my perspective and from the association's perspective, if you look at their letter, is to encourage all communities to be able to do this. So as you think about how best to do that, I think one of the questions that needs to be resolved is how do you incubate and encourage communities to do it, because it's not an easy thing to do. In fact, it was very incredibly hard. And I do have a concern that the one-year window is a very short time period. I don't mind at all coming back here to the legislature and seeking reauthorization after a year and reporting back to all of you, because quite frankly, all of you as policymakers should have all of that information. And so we're willing to do that. That's an easy thing to do. But my concern would be for the communities of, like, Blue Earth and others that have talked about wanting to do this. I'd hate to see them be discouraged or have some sort of just a feeling that they shouldn't proceed. And so if there's anything that you could do to either support the House position or perhaps we could creatively respect the wishes of the Senate position, and maybe there's a way to think about how we can encourage that. I mean, I think there's two ways to think about this. One is the reporting period, which requires a report back in January. And then another way, another issue here is when this pilot program sunsets. And so maybe there's a distinction that can be made with respect to those issues, but I do think that the House approach with respect to having a longer period of time and actually making this permanent, I mean, I think Ramsey County has shown that this can work. We don't have enough data. I mean, we'd like to have more data, and we'd like to report that back to you. But we certainly haven't abused that authority, and we've, you know, brought this issue back to the legislature. So, you know, I would encourage you to think about either supporting the House position or trying to figure out a way that so that the communities of Blue Earth and any other community out there that's thinking about it, that we give them every incentive and every possible encouragement to do this, because at the end of the day, what this is all about, to get back up at the 38,000-foot level, is to figure out a way to have communities come together, think about utilizing GPS technology. And quite frankly, this technology exists in our cell phones. And it's being used by the stalkers and those folks to keep track of their victims. And so I think this is another way to make sure that we empower those people. And I'll tell you, just having met many victims of domestic violence, if there is somebody that comes to us and says, I need this, they're going through immense fear. And I'm sure that if we had an objective lethality assessment done, they probably would have very high lethality indicators. And I've always said that when we are interfacing with victims in these types of situations, one part of our job is to do it and to hold offenders accountable. We should also look at this whole situation as homicide prevention, because too often, how many of us in this room have watched the news or picked up the paper and read about just a really unfortunate death? And I'm not saying that this is going to solve or prevent every homicide out there, but at least if it comes to our attention, we have some tools that I think are better than a piece of paper, because that's what a domestic abuse no-contact order is at the end of the day. It has the force of law, but we're not utilizing all the technology that's available. And before we embarked on any of this, we did the research around the country. And many, many other states already do this. And the experience that they have had is very consistent with our preliminary results, which is that they get better results with respect to compliance, and then also the appearance rates for those who are accused of these crimes in pretrial situations. So I do think that this is a best practice, and so I think whatever you as legislators can do to incubate and to promote and make these things happen at the local level would be a really positive thing for all Minnesotans. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Choi. Any questions for either of these two testifiers at this point? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you. Can you just let us know how many you served since you started the program, and also to represent Hillstrom's point, the cost to implement it and continue the program forward?
Madam Chair and Representative, the numbers were just recently updated, but I think we just went over 30 in terms of the people that have been on GPS, and our costs. Now, the cost that's in my head right now, and we can update this for you, but it really hasn't changed very much. It was a little bit over $20,000, almost $21,000 for about 27 defendants released on GPS. And so we've added about probably three or four more people since I last testified in the House and Senate. But we have at any one time five people. That's the maximum that we allow, because, quite frankly, we don't have the resources to go beyond that. So we have a cap that any one time we will have five individuals on GPS and that we're willing to pay for if necessary. Now, the first option is always we're looking out for the taxpayers, so we want the accused to pay if they can. But if they can't, then we will step in and we'll pay for that fee.
Did you have a follow-up?
Yes. Thank you. Just a follow-up. So of that $21,000 that it cost, how much was covered by defendants?
Mr. Choi.
Madam Chair and Representative, I could get that information to you. I don't know if, Erica, if you have that information. That was just our cost? Yeah. And so but your question is about how much, what was the participant fee? And I don't have the answer off the top of my head, but we can get that to you.
Senator Goodwin?
Thank you. I was going to ask, how do they get off of this system? What do they have to accomplish or whatever before they, the monitoring is stopped?
Madam Chair and Senator Goodwin, it would be the resolution of the case. So if they were to plead guilty or go to trial and be acquitted, but it's for that pretrial situation. So and this is also voluntary. So for the accused, they really have three choices. When they are accused in crime, when they're in custody, they could wait in jail for their case to be resolved, or they could post a bond or pay bail, or they could agree to this alternative condition, which would lower their bail amount, and that would be their third choice. And so they, if they choose this, and of course it's obviously voluntary for the victim because we would not do this unless the victim asked us. And it's those situations that we're talking about. And if you think about that situation, it's a pretty scary situation.
Is it, Senator Goodwin?
Thank you. Is it ever? Is it ever used by, or could it be under what we're putting together here, what was in past law, used as an order by a judge for continuing the monitoring after the hearing? Would that be a choice that both parties would have versus some other option?
Madam Chair, Senator Goodwin, that's not the part of the program in Ramsey County. This is just really for pretrial situations. It's a recognition that right after and during and right after a domestic violence situation, it's just very volatile. And so in that context, we're trying to look at it from a context of just keeping, enhancing the victim's safety during that really precious time period.
Okay, thanks. Representative Hillstrom and then Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do we know how much a unit were to cost? So if one jurisdiction wanted to just try it with one person, how much a unit costs?
Madam Chair and Representative Hillstrom, I think it would be a little bit per day. The per day fee would be about $11. Now, it depends, though, in terms of what the final bill is going to be, because sometimes cases get resolved very quickly. And sometimes they might take a while to get resolved. And so you just would have, if it takes a longer, the per day fee is going to add up.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I was just curious as to if we know how much the actual unit, not how much we charge the defendant. So if the county is going to use a unit, are they going to buy it?
No.
If they can do it for 1 year, or is it so expensive to purchase one unit to monitor that if they don't do it over a couple of years that they're not going to recoup their money or there would be no value in it?
Ms. Choi.
Madam Chair and Representative Hillstrom, I'm sure that we looked into that situation, but I think we thought it would be much more cost effective to engage a vendor that actually does this nationwide, and that was their per, you know, unit per day fee, and so instead of buying the equipment, this is what the arrangement that we entered into.
And in addition, that includes all of the monitoring and the service, so it's a whole sort of arrangement as opposed to just one hardware purchase. So, Senator Rosen?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm just curious to ask the testifiers their opinion of the differences between the House and the Senate. I know the Senate has the one-year pilot program, and the House is permanent, ongoing. And I do not sit on judiciary, but from what I understand, the Senate's thought on that 1 year is to have the ability to go back and review and to look at if there's any standards that need to be updated or to be reviewed and changed. So that was, I believe, the intent of this Senate language. So I was just wondering your opinions on that, if that seems to be reasonable.
Madam Chair, Senator Rosen, I think it's very reasonable as it applies to Ramsey County, but I think as you guys have kind of identified and what's been articulated here is that there's a concern that the communities out there may not be feeling that this is a good thing to embark on when all of this is in flux.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. The one problem that we have, though, is that our judiciary chair really does want the one-year pilot. So, you know, I know we need to discuss that a lot more, but I'm just concerned that if we don't have some kind of a pilot time in there, that he may object to the bill on the floor or snowball. So we wouldn't want that either. So I don't know. We do want this legislation, and it almost didn't make it through judiciary committee, and it wouldn't have, he said, without the pilot.
Mr. Choi.
Madam Chair, Senator Goodwin, I mean, if we're here to kind of think about, to brainstorm and try to bridge the gap, because I do have a lot of respect for Senator Latz, and I'm very grateful to him because there was a lot of questions in the Judiciary Committee And I do believe that he was very much trying to help this bill pass. But we have to respect, I think, some of the Senate's concerns about all of this. So if there's a way to think about this in terms of maybe for Ramsey County, we just have the sunset and we have the one-year provision, but for everybody else, maybe their clock doesn't start until they actually start one, maybe, or their report mm-hmm. wouldn't be due for until they start one.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And you give them some time to have some experience developed. I mean, I don't mind for Ramsey County coming back here and sharing all the information with you, and mm-hmm. if you want to have a short kind of a sunset date, that's fine with me. I'm trying to also represent my colleagues who I've had conversations with, and they are very interested in this because they see the value in it, but my concern is that they wouldn't be encouraged to do it.
Senator Goodwin, yes.
Is it possible to rent the equipment, or do you have to buy it outright?
Madam Chair, it's a very good one. I think essentially that's what we're doing in ways by paying the per-day fee. So we're paying for the service, but the equipment is included in that price.
Thank you.
So at this point, I would like to say that we have been discussing this issue within the Senate, and I've spoken with Senator Latz further. And, you know, I think part of the initial idea, there were the concerns that because of for all but one judicial district, this will be very new. And there is so much variability in terms of how the technology will work around the state, the way pretrial processes are handled from district to district, and even within the communities, whether it's a matter of population size or population density or a number of things. It was just sort of – and that was that's the benefit of this effort. We do have the local control, and the local districts get to structure this in the way that works for their district. But the flip side of that coin is this issue of so much variability. And so some of the concerns – as we embark on something that will be new to so much of the state, was that oversight piece, that ability to sort of check in and monitor and see what's going on. But the concerns that have been raised about that this will have a chilling effect on districts adopting this have been heard loud and clear, that because of the standards that we are setting in this legislation for all the judicial districts to establish such a program, it's not going to happen, you know, in the course of 2 weeks. And so it's going to take a while to get it established and then to have any report back. So we have had a conversation, and there is a willingness from the Senate, and I would offer this as a proposal at this point, to extend the sunset date to June of 2016. So that would be a year additional for the sunset. And then within the reporting, let me get to my notes, so Ramsey County would be asked to provide an updated report in January of 2015. So we'd have a second year of data from Ramsey County. So we could have a two-year look at what Ramsey County's been doing. And then any participating district as of January 2016 to offer a progress report, recognizing they might not have a lot of results at that point, depending on how long it's taken them. But they could at least, if they have had a program up and running, they can give an update at that time, and that they could give, and otherwise, you know, it's taken us this long to get it started, and this is where we stand, and that sort of a thing. So that is a proposal that I would like to share. Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you very much, Senator Kent. And thank you, Mr. Kingery and Mr. Choi. I just want to – I haven't had a chance to thank the county attorneys, in particular the folks in Ramsey County, publicly on this. And I do want to thank you. I think the county attorneys have really embraced this homicide prevention program. And when we debated this on the House floor, we had letters. There were letters from a number of counties, including one that Senator Rosen and I represent, Blue Earth County. And I just want to compliment Mr. Choi, but also the staff from Ramsey County. This is a professional operation. They have given us a model. And that's the purpose of a pilot. We've had a pilot. And thankfully, because of a very progressive county, we've had a quality pilot from which to work, and that's going to be important. I alert you to your, there's a letter in your folders, I believe, from Patrick McDermott. He's the assistant county attorney in Blue Earth County. And Blue Earth County is very interested in this project. And he stresses in the letter that it would, they've got the same thing again with the time constraints. And when you start thinking it through and walking this through, and especially I do it in my own head, a lot of it thinking of Blue Earth County. I also think about Le Sueur County and Sibley County, where I've talked with folks, and these are even smaller counties, where this is a challenge. There's deep interest, but things happen in the smaller counties and county attorney's office. Right now, Blue Earth County, for instance, is besieged by three recent murders. And I've just got, and they're high-profile cases, synthetic drugs, and it's just, we've got to appreciate what these folks go through. The other thing that hasn't been spoken about that was critical to my thinking on our approach, and you mentioned a little bit, Senator Kent, is that the value of the local conversation. I've spoken with people in my community about this approach, and some of people engaged in domestic violence issues have said, we want communities talking. And we don't want to force a quick conversation because of a deadline that's somewhat arbitrary. And so I just want that partly for the record, too, because I think we want each judicial district to really take its time and do this well. The more I've been involved with this, the more I recognize domestic violence is very sensitive and it's very complex. And so we want to do this well. Again, primarily to genuinely protect the victims. My first thought is that the reporting, if we ask judicial districts to report, that in essence provides the information to the Senate and to the House, and provides us the information. We can always sunset it on our own. So, I'm comfortable with an ongoing reporting. If I'm hearing correctly, the Senate, that would not be sufficient for key members of the Senate?
That's kind of true.
Okay.
And I would, put it in the context that, this bill was severely curtailed because of a lot of the concerns, because even though we do have information from Ramsey County has had a relationship with this organization, Remand, for 40 years or something, that happens to have this technology available to them. So, it is a sort of a unique situation, and this is not necessarily the case everywhere. So it is going to be, again, it's the local variability, and they're going to be starting doing things, and there's going to be that need to sort of make sure it's actually doing what it's supposed to do, that the legislation is accomplishing what it's supposed to be, and to have that opportunity. And there is serious concern that we're going to see that we need to have that opportunity. It's not going to be sufficient to go, oh, we'll come back to it. Even though we have the reporting, and because we actually discussed that, that it's not going to be sufficient to just say that. So having a sunset date in here is serious.
Okay, Senator Kent.
Representative Johnson.
Recognizing that, then the question becomes, how much time? And I'm going to pick up on your comment. I agree. I think Ramsey County had some assets designing and implementing this program that other counties don't and other judicial districts don't. Let's remember, these are judicial districts. Ramsey County, as I understand it, is one county, one judicial district. My judicial district has about half a dozen counties, which can make it more complicated again, mixed resources, et cetera, mixed geographies. It may be more complex out in the countryside. Or Hennepin County, which is a larger county, may face other obstacles. I have a question for you, Mr. Choi. My note was that fundamentally you're about 4 years in to the project. Am I correct?
Madam Chair and Representative Clark, we started in November of 2012, so
a year and a half.
Yeah, about a year and a half.
We did planning.
But we had formally launched it in November of 2012 in terms of actually accepting participants. But the planning, of course, really began in January of 2011.
So we're talking about 3.5 years at this point in time. So my note was about 4 years. And assuming that I do think it's more complicated in some areas, which would suggest a 5-year timeline on the sunset would give the judicial districts ample time to do it well. I know you're suggesting 1 year, an extra year or 2 years.
It would be a total of 2 years from the time that the law is enacted to the time of the sunset.
So you can see where this is our point of disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
My request is that we allow us to do this well. I'm comfortable, and actually I think the reporting I think makes good sense. I'll be real honest with you. I think we all benefit. I think Mr. Choi has been clear with that the reporting makes sense, that we merit knowing in this building how this is going, and that would also raise alarms or concerns. And so I'm comfortable with the reporting. But again, if the judicial district initially and then separately the counties within the judicial district are going to invest the time and energy, they need to be able to see that they've got some time to really do this and do it well. And so the House is asking, I guess, for more time. And the four to five years seems like the time that would be needed out in the countryside.
Mr. Kingery.
Madam Chairman, members of the conference committee, I won't come up with a number, but I think, in 2 years from now, your report says we've been going for 3 months, because I think it will take a good year to 15 to 18 months to get this up and running. And when you get that report in 2016, I'm not sure how much it's going to tell you. And I'm not going to pick a number. That's for you to decide. But it would seem to me that you should consider moving beyond 2 years to whatever degree everyone's comfortable with. And as much of a challenge as Ramsey had putting one together and potentially Hennepin, you got some pretty big rural areas. And you have totally different dynamics, especially up in the 9th District up in northwest Minnesota. It's huge. One part of that judicial district is totally different than the other. It's simply going to take a little bit more time. I think to get the data that you need, I'd hate to see that report in 2016 that says, yeah, we've been going for a couple of months, and it looks good, and that's promising, and it's not going to give you the information upon which to make a decision at that time.
And just real quickly to respond to Mr. Kingery, that's acknowledged in this proposal, that it would be a progress report, and it would be saying we recognize that there's not been enough time to have, as we've seen with the precedent from Ramsey County, to have that level of result. So that is acknowledged. The balancing act that we're trying to strike here is making sure that we are providing oversight for something that, as I said, for the majority of the state is going to be a new program, and have that opportunity to respond. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you consider having reports due like a year from when they put the first person on the monitoring, so that they'd have a full year, and then maybe after they have the first year report, then the next time a report's not due for 2 years or 3 years, so that it's kind of a staggered based on implementation rather than everybody turns in a report at the same time?
That is a question that has come up before, and we've actually sort of grappled with it, and I would be interested if anybody has any way to draft that in a way that makes it operable, because I agree the idea in terms of sort of a logic part of that makes sense, but in terms of managing it and providing the oversight of that, I think is where people found some concerns. But if anybody has any ideas about how to implement something like that, Representative Johnson. Sorry.
One other thing. They're not the same issue. A related issue is, besides the reporting challenge, is just if I'm Sibley County, and I'm going to make this, maybe I should, if I'm Hall County, that's my middle name, I'll pick a neutral name, if I'm at County X, and we've done the planning now, and the planning we carefully did, and we were involved with this planning, and it took us a long time, maybe a year, year and a half, or whatever, to put this together. I've got to decide whether it's worth it for my to spend the limited resources in my county attorney's office to invest in this program. And it's not only the money, it's investing in the energy that my probation people, my community people, my county's attorney's office, et cetera, if that deadline's 7 months down the road. I think it will have a chilling effect. The letter from Mr. McDermott would suggest that even for a fairly well-organized county, it could have a chilling effect on them. And so I guess I'm asking for the indulgence of the Senate here to find a length of time that can allow for this to be done. And frankly, 2 years, I just don't think it's enough. I really don't.
Senator Goodman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a suggestion on the study, and I guess I'd like Mr. Backus to answer a question for me. Right now, what's the due date? Oh, January 15th, 2015. Okay. So that'll only give people like 6 months, and that's never going to work.
Right.
We talked about that in judiciary, but that's just not going to work. But how about if, well, I'm not talking about the length of time right now.
I
think that's still to be determined, but I like the idea of having them do a study a year after they actually implement the program and turning those results over. So whatever time we end up deciding on for if it ends up to be a pilot and so forth, then I would just say it doesn't matter what time they hand those reports in, but to put it down that they don't have to do it until 1 year after they implement, I think is a good idea. But then we would need the time they presented to the legislature, to the Judiciary Committee. So that would be like, that could be a year and a half, it could be 2 years from now. But each program, as they hit that year annual mark, should put a report together. Then we can look at it all together rather than periodically. Is that possible, Mr. Backus, to have a draft of somehow like that to do?
Madam Chair, yeah, I think that's something Ms. Pierce and I can put together. Again, it's the main issue is really the length of the pilot project,
time.
But the tweaking the reporting is very reasonable, easy
and,
to do.
Well, thank you, Mr. Backus, Madam Chair. I do think that it's important to have the same, if you're going to study it, let's have the same amount of time for every entity that uses it, because otherwise you're going to have wavering results that don't really tell you a whole lot. So,
Mr. Kingery.
Madam Chairman, members of the conference committee, I'm trying to hear find out what you're saying. I think the idea of annual reports from any of the affected districts or counties is certainly has a lot of merit. And I know 2 years is important to the Senate. I'm not sure if this is what was being said, but maybe a sunset at 2 years after the implementation of a particular program in a judicial district. You'd get your annual reports. That program it's going to take 6 months, 9 months to get it up and running. You would then have 2 years to determine the impact of that program, still getting annual reports. So you'd get an annual report on the ramp-up and an annual report in a two-year sunset once that program begins.
Just having a hard time envisioning from a legislative perspective how we cycle through, 10 judicial districts, if everyone were to undertake such a thing, and each district is probably going to be broken up into subcomponents. So Senator Goodman, then Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we're not talking about annual reports every year. What we're basically talking about is one report in a year's time by each entity that administers this program. So otherwise, the legislature can get those reports every year and do nothing with them and throw them on a shelf. But just to see how it's working, I don't know that we'd even need to have a report every year after that, just that one time.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we implement technology on these pretrial releases programs all the time, and using alcohol monitoring is a really great example. I'm sure that in DWI cases, when people started talking about doing electronic monitoring of people who were out pretrial release, people were really worried about what was going to happen. Now they're kind of standard practice, and it's been incorporated into the law as an acceptable practice. So I don't think that this is going to be a long-term study or a long-term pilot project. It's either going to have success and be incorporated into the mainstream pretrial releases, or it's going to be found to have not been helpful, and it will. Judicial districts will stop doing it if other districts are having failures.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, if you give them enough time to get up and running, 5 years, and you have monitoring as they start implementing it, I think it will either show tremendous success early on or tremendous failure. I don't think that you'll have a long, ongoing monitoring of the program, just like alcohol monitoring in DWI cases.
Were you going to say something, Senator?
No, I just... you know, I think the authors of the bill are the most important people in making the decision along these lines, and I'm just adding my 2 cents worth for whatever it's worth, but I certainly think that the authors are the ones that we need to go by them. It's their bill. But I do think that, you know, we could try extending the time. That would mean you and I sat down with the chair, and because I think there's been some real good points brought up here, I know for sure it won't be an issue of not having a pilot. That Senator Latz made very clear to me that he wanted a pilot. But if we could talk to him about some of the reasons for the extension, for example, the amount of time it takes for the court to put this together and act on it, and that makes perfectly good sense that we wouldn't be able to find out anything really valuable in that length of time. But we can do that. That's my suggestion. Or we can take the proposal now, give it to the House, and let them look at it, the 2-year proposal. I just think that's going to be a sticking point.
Okay. Senator Rosen?
Well, I believe that there is a sweet spot here, Madam Chair, and I think 5 years is too long. If you can't get it up and going by that time, then you're doing something wrong, and perhaps we need to revisit that on all terms. But and 2 years is not realistic, perhaps. But I do believe there's a sweet spot there that we can find.
And I did speak with Senator Latz very recently, and I can assure you that 5 years is very much counter to the Senate position in terms of being more than a pilot. I mean, your points, Representative Hillstrom, I think very well taken, but I agree with Senator Rosen. I mean, we got to look for a sweet spot in here. So any other proposals at this point? Representative Johnson.
Well, Senator Kent, then certainly 4 years makes sense because that's about what the time the Ramsey County needed from a planning. When you go through, it was about a 4-year deal. You know, it's just... I think it's a matter of finding what's acceptable, and I agree with you. I think everybody in this room, I understand that everybody in this room wants this to work. The House and the Senate passed these bills unanimously. There is interest in the Minnesota legislature in 2014 to have this done, and I hope to do it well. So we can figure this out.
But I will also remind that this bill very nearly died in the Senate. And so, you know, I do want to be very respectful of serious concerns that were raised. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I was just reminded that in Ignition Interlock, which I was on that conference committee, actually had 2 pilot projects going. So this is not... it's not uncommon, but I think 4 years is, I don't think that's a sweet spot either. That might be tough to sell.
Then 2017 as a sunset date, that would be 3 years from the time of enactment. Is that something that people can be comfortable with?
Okay.
I mean, is that from the perspective of the testifiers? You know, it is, and in a different context, this was brought up so that there would be fully a year for the planning and the organ. So, where am I now? Okay, this is 2014. We enact that gives everybody a year to get started to 2015, let's say, and a full year to be up and running, and then even another year. So if somebody, like I know from speaking to County Attorney Orpett in Washington County, he's very carefully watching what's happening in Ramsey County. He has a lot of interest, but a lot of questions. I don't know that this is something that he would be interested in starting anytime soon, but maybe over the course of the next year, give them a year to plan, give them have a year of results. So in that sort of scenario, you know, you can see something like that. I'm trying to think. So that would, that is another, we're trying to find sweet spots. Representative Johnson.
Yeah, Senator Kent, when you say that, 2017, are you, do you speak with any confidence that the Senate would find that those deeply invested in this in the Senate would be open to that?
Not going to be happy about it.
Well, we're not always happy.
I know.
I've learned that, really. I've been here less than 2 years.
This was, you know, in discussing this, and, you know, with a real strong desire to, and again, you know, I think there is a very serious effort to try to make sure that we are providing good oversight on something that is new in a lot of different ways and will be new in a variety of different locations, and a lot of reluctance to wind this up and just let it run for too long. But, you know, the concerns about, again, goes back to the variations within the local districts and communities, is understood, and, you know, but as you said, everybody wants to see this succeed. Representative Johnson.
My reaction to that would be, I'll be real open. I think the counties that we've been working with can work with the 2017. It can't be less than that. Absolutely. There's just no way we can put that pressure on and expect this to succeed in places where it needs to succeed. That said, with recognition that the House passed this bill, understanding that this was, we're ready to go. The House understands that the pilot has been established. And, I just want that recognized, that we recognize what's been done. The pilot's been done in our opinion. And so we're, you know, agreeing to 2017 is a major step. But I also heard what Mr. Choi, Mr. Kingery said about how ongoing oversight, they recognize the value of that and that sort of thing. So I think if we can agree to that, but you got to pass in the Senate then, you know. And,
right.
And so I'm personally comfortable with it myself.
Thank you. And I will just point out and look at my Senate colleagues and say we're having frequent conversations about how there are two bodies in this building.
Yeah.
So I appreciate what you're saying, but there were serious questions in the Senate. So, but
I think, Madam Chair,
yes, Senator,
I think maybe I can shed a little light on that, because in the Judiciary Committee, for a while they just wanted it to be Ramsey County and nowhere else, and then they still wanted that to be one additional year. So it was a great achievement for Senator Kent to get the entire state. And originally they wanted the expiration date January of 15. Mm-hmm. And shoot, that would give them a few months. Yeah. And for her to get June of 15. It's a bill that you said is very much supported, but they had a number of questions about how it'll work in different areas and so forth, overlapping people that just happen to be in the same area, and what's the penalty going to be for, you know, these accidental crossovers into different places. So anyway, my point, I think the 3 years, I think we would, that would be a good alternative, and then they'd still have at least 2 years to plan it and 1 year to implement it if they needed two full years to plan it. But I don't know that they would, especially since Ramsey County's going to spend all their time telling everybody else how they did it. That's what's going to happen. They're all going to be looking to you for leadership on it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a good compromise, and I also think that the report issue that we just talked about, you know, a year after this implemented rather than mm-hmm. when they start talking about it is a good option, too. Yeah. I think if everybody agreed and we got those two issues done, we could certainly go back and talk and make sure that our chair isn't going to oppose it verbally on the floor. And try to get
that. Madam Chair, it seems to me like it'd be appropriate for a senator to make that sort of a motion in this situation.
I'll make the motion that we go to. The motion would be that we extend the pilot to 3 years, that we change the reporting language from January 2015 to within 1 year after the implementation of the program.
Mr. Barker.
Years from August 1st of this year. Yes.
Sorry, you're saying that.
That's right.
My bad ears, so sorry.
3-4 years. So
yeah,
not,
so.
Not June.
Okay, August 1st of 2017.
Is the ending date right?
Yeah.
August 1st.
Okay, then we'll write that in.
Why don't you make your motion that way? Yeah, and that makes good sense.
Amend my motion quickly. We just discussed that we would want that to be 3 full years from August 1st of 2014 to August 1st of 2017.
Madam Chair, I'm looking at Mr. Choi. I think that has to be said a little differently instead of from August 1st, because they have a deadline.
Just say 3 years ending August 1st, 2017.
Or don't even have to say 3 years, just the sunset date being
okay.
August 1st. Yeah, on
just
line 2.21, August, instead of June 30th, 2015, August 1st, 2017.
Mr. Joy.
Madam Chair, if the effective date, I don't know if what that effective date is from the current Senate and House bills, but if it can be upon enactment, that would be great. And the reason why that is an important one is because the expiration of this pilot actually expired in January of this year. And so we'd like to just from the legal clarity, we'd like to kind of get an effective date as soon as possible.
And that, Mr. Troy, that is already included in the bill, that it is upon enactment. So, all right, so we have a motion from Senator Goodwin. Ms. Perius, did you have a...
Madam Chair, I was just clarifying with Mr. Choi that on line 3.29 of the Senate side, the section is effective retroactively from January 15th, 2014.
Thank you.
And that would be better.
Yes. I do think you have a reason for that, yes. All right. So back to Senator Goodwin's motion. All those in favor, Mr. Choi.
Madam Chair, I just have one question just for clarification, yeah. Just so that I understand what the obligation for Ramsey County would be with respect to the reporting. Obviously, the sunset date of August 1st, 2017 would apply for everybody, but for the reporting,
you've already been.
We would report. We've already started our pilot program, so I'm just wanted to seek clarification as to when we should be doing that. We were happy to do it again.
The original proposal, Senator Goodwin, did include Ramsey County coming back the subsequent January for, because they're the way they've done their report, they're doing it on a full-year basis. And so I think it is useful for Ramsey County to continue sharing its data. So if that could be incorporated in your motion, that would be.
Sure, Madam Chair. I think the way we'd want to do that is to say from the time a year from the time Ramsey County re-implements its program. In Ramsey County's case, I don't know if that
hasn't
would...
It's still ongoing.
It's still ongoing. We never stopped.
You didn't stop it.
We weren't going to take those victims off of GPS.
Okay, so then to have a January 2015 date for you would be fine.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Choi, would it be onerous to do a third report? I mean, it'll be second at this point, third from the one you've already done, to just further update while we're going through the pilot project. You have the honor of being the leader in the success story. And
no, Madam Chair, we're very committed to. I mean, actually, we want to evaluate comes the results. And so whether you had us do it or not, we'd still do it because it's really important for us because, again, we're still at the, I mean, we've gotten good data, but we really need more experience. I mean, it'd be really nice to have a pool of 100 people that were released on GPS. Then I think those conclusions could be made a little bit stronger. And we've also had some discussions about connecting with some academic researchers to show the efficacy of what we've been doing in Ramsey County.
That's great. Thank you. And I think that would be really helpful to bring that to this forum and have it shared so that other districts could have that access to that data as well. Senator Goodwin.
Thank you. Sorry for taking up all this time. But I do think that some of the House members talked about making sure the implementation date is kind of described. So that doesn't mean when they first start meeting. It means when the first monitor is put on. So perhaps council can figure out a way to phrase that. Yeah.
Define the launch date.
Yeah.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members, Ms. Pierce and I can put language together on this. What I'm tracking is you would want to have Ramsey County or the second district report again on January 15th, May 15.
Yes.
That would be basically an interim report and then a final report at the end of the pilot project. And then it seems you want an interim report like 1 year from the beginning of implementation for any county doing it or any district. Would you also want then a final report from those judicial districts as well, presumably, similar to Ramsey County?
Thoughts? So if hypothetically a district has started in July and they have a report a year later, the following July of 16. So that's a full year snapshot that we're asking them to provide. Then they would have another few months before January. Is there any value in them going back and giving an update? So the most recent full year's report from launch would be available for a January sharing with the legislature. Representative Johnson?
I agree. Let's not make it overly confusing or cumbersome. But I do think Ramsey County and the County Attorneys Association have kind of demonstrated a real professional approach to this. Mm-hmm. I would expect, just at least informally, that judicial districts would be willing to follow up upon request. And I think that we may need that, but at least I think keeping it simple in the legislation, as long as we have the advantage of being able to look at one project that's already ongoing and to analyze that in the longer view, I think we can get the best of both worlds that way. So.
Okay, so Senator Goodwin, would you like to restate your motion? And Mr. Backus is right there to help.
Okay, let me see if I can do this. The motion is to change the time period for the pilot from 1 year to 3 years. The other part of the motion is to change the reporting requirement to a year after implementation, meaning when they actually put the bracelets on the first people or however Ken can come up with much better language. And then the other part of it was there were three parts. What's the third part?
Ramsey County study
is due on January 15th of 2015, but the other reports are not due until 1 year.
And Senator Goodwin, if I could clarify, I believe that would be on lines 2.21 instead of June 30th, 2015. August 1st, 2017.
Yes.
And then on line 3.31, it would be on August 1st, 2017, instead of June 30th, 2015. Because that 3 years is, okay.
All right.
Correct.
So on Senator Goodwin's motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mm-hmm. Say nay. Proposal is adopted.
Wow, that's the worst part.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We just need to make sure we have the retroactive effective date for Ramsey County.
It is already in the bill.
Was it in the House and the Senate? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Madam Chair, they have started taking amendments on the
Oh, floor. Okay.
So just
all right.
FYI.
Yes. So do we want to, we have really, I think, two additional issues. And Mr. Bacchus, I don't know if you want to, if we can recess. If you need to work on any of this, or okay, all right. So, do we want to try to?
I think we can move through here
okay.
pretty quickly.
All right. So let's continue the next. Okay, so we have the language that the Senate had introduced regarding the mobile circumstances 3.18 through 2.0 and 3.2628, and we also have the difference of the language. On lines 3.14 and 3.15, those are two separate topics wrapped around each other physically in the bill. Anybody want to?
Yeah, Senator, I actually had the senators. I had really I was pleased to observe the debate in the Senate. I was in the gallery, and we'll start with the language related to the mobile, the 3.18 to 3.20 and 3.26 to 3.28. I think that's good language. I'm real comfortable with that. I think that improved the bill. And I thought the case was made strongly in the Senate, and it was fun to watch you guys operate on that. So I'm comfortable moving that language into the final version. I believe that's helped me make sure that's the only place.
Yeah, two places.
So it's 3.18 through 3.20. Ah, there we go.
House research suggests that we also get that into Section 1 after 2.18. We would be adding, and help me, Ms. Pirius, I think we would be adding the language from 3.26 to 3.28. At what would be 2.181? I guess we don't do that, but right after 2.18,
yes.
Right before and before the effective date.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we are. So everybody's in agreement to take the language from. So, Representative Johnson moves to adopt the Senate position in 3.18 to 3.20 and 3.26 to 3.28, and to also include that same language. After 2.18.
Just the D.
D. Okay,
yeah.
Just the 3.26.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. All right. And the last one is on Senate file in the Senate side lines 3.14 and 3.15. Representative Johnson, this was removed in the House. Do you have a?
Yeah, I'm just going to be open about this situation. I firmly, you know, we agreed to the amendment to remove the language in the House, and we're going to stand by that. However, I do believe that there's a middle ground there's been language written that presents a positive view on that. And this is an opportunity to recognize on the public record the Minnesota Better Women's Coalition, who really helped us. We've been writing this bill a long time, and there's been through many iterations, and I should recognize Ms. Pirius and Ms. Weeks and others and Ms. Leffels who really been involved with that. And maybe I believe that Mr. Carlson represents the coalition, and if you could, we talked briefly about the language. I'd just like to know what the coalition thinks about a possible substitute.
Well, Welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Joel Carlson. I own a legal research and government affairs business here in St. Paul, and I have long represented the Minnesota Coalition for Better Women. And we appreciate all the hard work that's gone into this bill and our opportunity to participate. The language on 3.4 is an effort by the coalition to have the judicial districts, if we aren't going to develop a statewide policy, which was our kind of preference, but to have the judicial districts look at the economics of the people that are going to be involved in the system and the geographic location. And that was kind of what I had shared with Representative Johnson earlier today. And this, the language on 3.14 and 1.5 isn't maybe the most artful to get at that point. But what we're really talking about is, you know, we don't want only people with means to be able to use this system. We don't want it we want them to think about the geographic location and the problems that, you know, that distance may mean for this type of technology. And that's all we were trying to get at. Representative Johnson showed me some language drafted by staff, and I talked with Senate counsel about that. And I think that gets us to the same point, although it lacks a little definition as to what groups mean. And, you know, but I mean, we appreciate the change. We would accept it as written, but we do need to understand that the language is a little lacking as it relates to definition for groups, and directly or indirectly. But that's our point. The point is, let's not just make this available to people with means who can pay for it themselves, and let's make sure that we have technology that is useful and accessible in different geographic areas, whether it's response time or the technology working. That's kind of where we're at. So,
thank you, Mr. Carlson. Representative Johnson.
We should probably share the language. And then Mr. Carlson and I spoke this is we had this drafted. And, you know, if we could think of a better way to address the concerns, Mr. Carlson, the coalition, fine. And when we spoke before the meeting, he suggested that the first five words, promote policies and procedures that, are really unnecessary. So we'd be looking at a very short, we would ask these, again, remember this relates to the advisory groups, that the advisory groups seek to identify and address issues that directly or indirectly affect all groups within the district's population. Just again, it's not the strongest language in the world, but it does ask the advisory groups to look at who's in that district and recognizing that socioeconomic challenge and that sort of thing. I think it.
Senator Rosen.
That's thank you. Representative Johnson, the reason for the A10 amendment is because you don't like the House language? 3.14 and 3.15?
No, this is, the House removed 3.14 and 3.15. Okay. And this is just, my thinking is that this, and I've been in discussions with the coalition, that this is a kind of a, and Ms. Perius, it was our best attempt to give a positive approach on, you know, really, these are minimums. These are state standards, and so we're saying the state has an interest in assuring that these advisory groups seek to identify issues that would affect groups of people within the population that they're serving. I'm throwing it out. The House position is currently no language. This is just kind of I'm honoring the coalition, and I think there's some sense to that. But that's where I'm at. That's my thoughts on presenting this at this time.
Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair and members, and as I spoke to counsel about this, I'm wondering or suggesting rather than the term all groups within the district's population, if what we really can boil down to is what we're talking about is victims and defendants here. You know, that's really the law enforcement's addressed otherwhere in other areas, and the courts are addressed in another area. What we're really talking about is how does this affect victims and defendants within the district's population? And I think even that would improve the language to make it clear in this particular paragraph what you're looking for is how is this going to affect people that are going to use it. Mm-hmm. That's our issue.
Great. Makes sense. I'll offer that as an amendment to A10 on line 1.5, delete all groups and insert victims and defendants.
Just a clarification, do we want to leave the word all, or that it would affect all victims and defendants? So,
Madam Chair, I'd leave all out of it because we're only talking about the subgroup of victims and defendants that are subject to the act.
On Senator Goodwin's amendment to the proposal, all in favor?
Senator, I would just like to take a little break here on this. I purposely asked Representative O'Neill, who's my GOP colleague, and I want bipartisan support for this. Okay. It's important to me. And so I wanted to just, I'm seeking her advice, and if you're not ready to move on it, I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
I don't think we're ready to move on it. It doesn't make, you know, we took that provision out for a reason. We weren't comfortable with that particular language. This language isn't much different than what was in before. It's still, you know, it's, and in a way, it's almost more vague than it was before. It's, I don't know how you even implement it. So I'd like to go back and talk to my leadership a little bit, but I know that we did not want, the reason that was deleted before is we definitely didn't want that language, and I don't see this as much different as what was there before. And I don't know how it accomplishes what we're trying to accomplish. The language is incredibly vague, and I don't know that it adds anything other than confusion.
Representative Johnson?
Yeah, I'd like to ask Mr. Carlson. What distinguishes in this language, what does this add that isn't already in the standards when one looks at 3.10 through 3.12, when one looks at 3.13, specifically those, or 3.8 and 3.9, you know, is there, I'm thinking of the term significance. Is there significant, you know, improvement?
Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair and members, as I read 3.13 and as we've kind of talked about that issue, when you address the financial costs to defendants and victims, to us, that simply means you're going to tell them how much it's going to cost. It doesn't really say how it's going to affect people who don't have the means to provide for the GPS monitoring system. And so we don't think it's a difference without a distinction. And that's what we're trying to get at, which is we really want the districts to evaluate everyone's opportunity to participate in the technology, both economically and locationally. That was the intent. And I'm not wedded to this language or what's actually in the Senate bill, but that's the concept, that we want them to have a plan for that so that it isn't simply, can you afford GPS monitoring? No, I can't. Then you're not going to get it. And that's the concern that we have.
Representative O'Neill, then Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, and I appreciate that concern, and I appreciate not having some sort of discriminatory economic impact, but I don't believe that this particular language, whether the language that was deleted or the new language or revised new language, accomplishes that. And so that's where I would stand, is I'm not comfortable with, you know, pulling back in the deleted language or moving to this language because I don't believe it accomplishes that particular goal that you just stated.
And Madam Chair,
Senator,
I have a possible solution to that. How about if, because I agree, it's kind of vague, and if we put financial in front of issues, we would have promote policies and procedures that seek to identify and address and address financial issues that directly or indirectly affect victims and defendants within the district's population. Then that should make it clear that that's what we're trying to do, is just identify the cost issues and how they affect different groups of people.
We have
and
to
I think, I mean, I actually think that that is a good thing for the advisory, because, you know, this is the advisory committee recommendation, so I